You're listening to the DIY Creative Podcast. And if Aben were to shave himself, would he be Senator Smooth Jazz?
First, how about a word from our sponsors? Hey, they make this work. Be right back. To another episode of the DIY Creative Podcast. I am Senator Jez. Friends call me Aben. You can call me Aben. This is episode 41, and we have a treat. What you were just listening to was the song Oundy by our guest today, artist known as Tie-Dye Beats. Joe, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you, Aben. Yeah, very well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, the pleasure's all on this side. So everybody can kind of just catch up. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I produce hip hop music predominantly. I'd say I kind of sit across a few different subgenres in a way. I'm basically learning as I go with this music stuff, somewhat along the journey. Started a couple of years ago. I'd say I kind of wear my music on my sleeve in a way. People say you wear your emotions on your sleeve, but I'm kind of trying to put my whole journey out there for everybody to see. The gritty, the absent times, the good times, the releases. I want to try and capture that whole thing. So really, that's a little bit about me in a nutshell and I guess how it translates into my music.
How does Awesome Power say, no, this is me in a nutshell. Oh, I'm in a nutshell. Yeah. Never mind. We're not going to go down that road. So I heard this little bird came on my shoulder, was talking to me and said that there is this thing called wise eyes.
Wise eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's about what is all this wise eyes stuff about?
That's going to be my second album, Wise Eyes, released just over 2 months ago now. It was a very fun album to make, darker than anything I've kind of released before. Took some influences from some of the darker corners of what I like. And really, that was Wise Eyes was the album to try and get me out of a bit of a rut from last year. I'd say it potentially is the reason that I'm still releasing music consistently at the minute, because it was that important to me. I had to get something out there.
Yeah, we want to let people know about your latest releases. So there we go, Wise Eyes, that's and that's perfect. Available yeah. across platforms. You can even get it on getting YouTube. It's
you can. Yeah, there's even a badly edited video on YouTube just for you to see as well.
Well, that's in the beholder, right? I mean, was it?
Indeed.
You know, sometimes art isn't perfect.
Indeed, absolutely.
The best art isn't, actually. Be? You know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, you can be a pop star, you can be an artist, right?
Hey, I think I'll choose artist.
Exactly.
Pop star looks a little bit stressful.
Yeah, and you don't really own yourself anymore, do you?
Exactly, you know? Yeah, exactly. It's
a scary thought. That's never a fun thing. You know, pop stardom can actually be compared to a light, and I want to put light in quotations here because I'm not making the big statement here, but it can be a form of corporate slavery.
Absolutely, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
That's what I love careful. About being an independent.
Yeah, it's the freedom. It's the freedom. Exactly. I think being independent, you know, you've got to prop yourself up sometimes. But learning to do that is what makes it important. I think you were talking about on your last episode about the industry and how you basically are on a loan and you can't even pay that loan back until you've made them that money.
Yeah.
That scares me. And, you know, in the early days of an artist, I can see why people get sucked into that concept and why they'd want to go down that route. But yeah, it's corporate slavery, 100%.
I was reading an article recently, and it was very, and I'm doing this to myself yet again. I always say, don't bring stuff up unless you can actually remember what you're talking about. But I still do it.
It was
a very famous band, and it was their make or break album, and then they made it. But you know what? Let's just act like I didn't read that. It was just a case in point of a band that you would think would have been very famous. They were very famous. You'd think they would have made a lot of money. They would have a lot, but they were so in debt to their record label that they had a make or break album, and nobody even realized it was a make or break. They were going to break up in debt to the record label. And that's kind of what the mainstream can be at times. But you and I never know that, because it's in the label's best interest to keep the mystique up, you know.
Exactly.
In last episode, I was talking about how you'll see the cars, you'll see this and all, and there are some acts out there that's their stuff, but there are a lot of other acts where that's all from the label to get the mystique out, you know.
It's so, marketing.
Give me indie all day long, especially in this climate. When I was younger, when I was a kid, I'm older than everybody that comes on the show generally.
I'll be soon catching you up.
Huh?
I'll soon be catching you up.
Yeah. Hey, that's the thing. The young people that make fun of old people for being old, the best you can do is become old yourself. Because
exactly. You know what I'm saying?
If you hang around in the game long enough, there's no way you dodge getting old.
Yeah, exactly. We can hope to get old, right?
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, I'm shooting now with medicine being the way it is and all, I'm shooting for 101.
Yeah, I think you should as well. I tell you what, when you're 101, we'll put out an album together to celebrate.
That's right. You know, and we'll call it One More Than George Burns. Yeah. You know. Or did he make it to 101? It doesn't matter. He was up there.
Either way.
If he made it to 101, I'm going for 102 at least. That way I can put out the album One More Than George Burns.
Perfect. It's actually perfect.
Got to have goals. So, Joe, what got you into music?
Yeah, so it's been quite a ride, really. It's been quite a journey. So as a kid, I started playing the guitar. I was probably 11. Had like a very plasticky acoustic, got lessons at school. That didn't go too well, to be honest. I kind of didn't enjoy it. I liked the idea of playing, but I could never really get into it. And the practice was a whole other thing. So I kind of didn't play with it for a few years. And then right up until I was 25, which is 2 years ago, I finished my job and I was going to Canada and do a snowboarding instructor's course. And I had a couple of months in between finishing my job, going to Canada. And I thought, I'm going to try and finally finish a song, because I've tried for so many years to put something together. And it never quite came to fruition. I felt like I was getting in my own way, if anything. So I finished this song. I did that and I was like, okay, great. And that's not released or anywhere or out anywhere. But I thought, great, I've done a song. What next? And I was kind of stuck. I was like, I don't really have another song to make. And I'm massively into hip hop. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to try and write something. So wrote some bars down, did it to one of my favorite MF Doom beats, and just tried to get something together, you know, rapping very quietly in my room, trying to make sure nobody could hear me and all that. And from that, I just decided, you know, I'm going to have to start looking at instrumentals. You know, I quite enjoy this process. How do I go about taking these verses and making it into music? So I kind of set myself the goal, when I'm in Canada, I'm going to get my instructor course done. And I'm going to work on some music. And lo and behold, we all shared kind of dorms. It was 4 to a room. I walk in on the first day and one of my friends, Lex, who's an amazing musician, amazing artist. He's one of my roommates and obviously we'd never met before. So it was perfect. He kept pushing me and pushing me, keep writing, keep practicing. We had an open mic at the hostel we were at for a few months. So he kept pushing me to go on that path, and he was amazing for that reason. And then I kind of got home and I was like, okay, time to make this work. I've got to get a job again. I've got to start making my music. And that's where I started creating beats, because I was like, well, I can't afford. I was still on the breadline at the time. I couldn't afford licenses, and the idea of renewing the license and all that stuff, it just didn't quite work for me. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to try and produce a beat. So I can rap over it. Started producing the beats, got obsessed, I would say, with that. And that very quickly turned into a passion for just making instrumentals. And I've still got so much hip hop stuff to release. which is all going to come in the future. But that's kind of how I got to where I am. It's been quite the journey. The reasons why I'm into it is, as you know better than anyone, just the feelings you get from it, the satisfaction. Taking something through to release has been life-changing, I would say, not just for music, but in every sense of life. So it's been quite the journey, but I would say I'm very much still on that journey, discovering as I go. And
it's a lifelong journey.
It is, yeah.
Once you get on, it really, I get sad sometimes when somebody gets into their creative passion, whatever that creative passion is. We're musicians. It could be illustrator, a painter. It could be anything, a writer. And we all get in at first purely. Very few people really do get into this saying, I'm going to make $1 million and this, that, and the other, and it's all about business. Most people get into their creative endeavors because they love it. And it makes me really sad when people get into it and then start thinking a little bit too much about success. And then when they don't get to a level that they feel, then they drop off. They've lost all the passion for it. And I always get really sad for that, because one of the things as an independent, this show's all about tips for independence, is you've got to always maintain your passion. So if you're maintaining your passion, then once you find it, then it's a lifelong journey, you know, because you do it no matter what is kind of the point you want to get to.
You can't avoid it.
Exactly.
You can't shake it off. It's beyond a habit at a certain point.
Exactly. You know, it's just
a part there of all
you.
Day.
It's your heart. Exactly. It's your soul. And
exactly.
I wanted to bring up a takeaway that I got from what you were just saying there. You talked about meeting your friend. It was Lex, right?
Lex, exactly.
Lex.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about life. You can have all the greatest intentions in the world, and you have this plan and everything. You have everything written down, and these are my steps. But you've always got to keep your eye open, because the truth is you never know where your next inspiration is coming from, where your next idea is coming from, where the next person that comes into your life is going to come at you. You know, you've got to actually approach your creative endeavors with a sense of almost childlike wonder.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you've got to be open to all the possibilities.
And that's one of the reasons I kind of wanted you on the show, because you have this uber positivity gene about you that, you know, you seem to actually want to spread that, like to give that out to the world. And that's actually a wonderful thing. That's, you know, to be in that mind frame, that mindset of positivity.
It's an interesting one. I guess my feeling around that is that we all know, people of all ages, from wherever you come from, there's enough negativity in the world. And not just this year with COVID, you know, attitudes, outlooks. And I've been there myself when I was younger, a little bit sour at the world, not feeling fulfilled, I suppose, with the world. And so that's kind of my feelings with that is, if I'm going to put content out there, it better be positive most of the time. You know, there might be times where you see I'm not quite the same, but I want to try and show that that's a choice. You know, how I wake up initially, I might feel rough, but how I go forward with my day is very much down to me or you or anybody else who's living. So I do hope to spread that, and I appreciate your kind words, Aben, as well.
Yeah, well, it's a big deal, because when I was younger, I had a lot of anger issues. And I also was very salty at the world. Like, how, you know, where's mine? When am I going to get mine? Right.
Yeah.
And I attribute this to age more than anything, not necessarily getting smarter or anything. Just you get to a point where you reach an age and you start to see things a little clearer. You're seeing it clearer at a younger age, which is really cool. And that's nothing that this world can throw at you, can toss you off of your well-being and yourself when you look inside yourself for your well-being. If you're not looking externally for the world to fulfill you, if you're not looking externally for the world to give you anything, and I kind of meter how I say that, because some people take that as I'm saying, oh, if you're not where you want to be in life, it's your fault. I'm like, no, you just haven't made the shift to the mindset that you realize no matter where you are, you can be happy if you choose, if you're fulfilled in yourself. This has nothing to do with success. It has nothing to do with your bank account. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's just when you are happy and fulfilled in yourself and you know that it comes from within, then the negative stuff can't shake you that easy. You know,
it's almost irrelevant, extremely diluted.
Exactly. And then when you get to that point, you can spread it to other people, you know, because the fact is, people that get aggravated with you because you're positive, they'll go away, and then you'll be left with the with your core, with your tribe, with your people, you know, and and then they build off of you, you know. So it's the key is not to look to others or to the world to make you happy. The key is to spread your happiness out to the world.
Exactly that. And you've also got to, I think within that, you've got to be open to the fact that some days aren't going to be great. You know, talking about Wise Eyes, that album exists because I had a dark year last year, you know, absent on social media, just kind of dwelling away, spending too long on things that don't really need my attention.
I actually was like, man, he just disappeared.
Because
you were there, and then boom, you weren't there for so long, and then you came back.
it was a good few months, and I think those kind of times as well, it's been a learning experience trying to understand how to not let that happen again. How to not let things overwhelm you, because Lord knows it's so easy these days. I mean, I've been in lockdown in the UK for the best part of a year now. We've come out a little bit, and you see it everywhere. Mental health is suffering for it. But what I've kind of learned is, and it's kind of dumb saying it, because it's like, why would you shut off the one thing that made you happy in your darkest time? You know, sharing music, putting stuff out there. It's funny how the mind can work when you're not at your best.
Well, I try not to get too deep into things not musical and not creative on this show, but I firmly believe that we all are in touch with something bigger than us.
I agree. Yeah.
And the thing is, though, is there's a filter right here that keeps us from touching that bigger thing. And that's our ego. That's our mind. Our mind can play these amazingly horrible tricks on us.
When
you get into that loop of negative thought and this and that, and it kind of builds and builds, you kind of have to clear out the cobwebs and realize, wait a second. That's not the real me. That's just my mind. That's the self-talk. That's the part of me that internalized everything that everybody's ever said about me or that I've said about myself, you know, and you have to get past that. And sometimes you do have to take a step back and like, let's break through that wall and get back to real.
Yeah, exactly. And the conversations you can have with yourself, like even just taking, you know, if it's 4 months away from Instagram, I'd say for a month of that towards the end of the break, I was more wrapped up in the idea of people being like, oh, he's back again. I wonder when he's going to go next time. You know, that kind of thing. Oh, here he is. You know, I'm sure he won't be here for long again. And just by thinking like that, suddenly there's 4 weeks gone by. And you're like, wow, I could have been on there right now, just doing what I want to do. Why have I tied myself up in these knots? And you kind of bury things deeper and deeper. But I hope as well, going back to the positivity thing, that's something I can help curing people, because I see that in a lot of people my age. And the last thing I want is for people to look at me and be like, oh, he's just trying to be positive all the time. Like it's not legitimate or anything like that. It's more about everybody has this side inside of them.
Right.
And they can choose to put it out. And there's so many people, as you probably know, I've heard you talk about on this podcast, who have these passions, or maybe it's not quite a passion yet, but they have a love for something like music or taking videos or editing or whatever it is. And they never quite, they don't start. But if they start, you know, they'll have a Fruity Loops project open that has just never quite got to where they could have taken it because they've overthought about finishing the process, even though they've created the art already.
What's important is, and if you're listening to this and we're kind of getting metaphysical now. I understand that, but it's important to not be hard on yourself, because everybody's where they are supposed to be at the moment.
Yeah.
You can't be hard on yourself if you're not in a positive place, or if you haven't seen what we're talking about yet, because it's there. You're just not ready to receive it yet. When I was your age, I was a right bastard. When I was your age, I was not a pleasant human being. I had to go through a lot, you know? And so I'm looking back at hindsight. That's why I'm so impressed at your age, you know. You're a very, very positive, uplifting person. But it took me a lot longer to start to feel this way. And
but everybody gets there in the end, right?
Everybody gets there in the end. You know, that is sad though. Some people, I guess, don't. And I feel bad for those people, but I can't take responsibility for those people. You can only be responsible. That's another thing. You can only ever be responsible for yourself. It's you know, it's sort of like if you have somebody that's chemically dependent in your family. You can do everything you try to help them, but until they hit the point where they want to help themselves, they're not going to go over that hump. In feelings, in anything, it's the same thing. A person has to reach a point either where they just find happiness, or they're just so sick of being unhappy
that's a big one as well. You spend enough time in the trenches and you kind of get to the point and it's like, well, I can carry on like this, or I can at least try and change something, you know. Whether that will change or not is uncertain, but I can try to. And just by trying, I believe everybody is already on that right path.
Exactly. You know, it's always going to be a journey. You know, off that subject just a second, it just hit me while we're talking. Inadvertently, I mean, I didn't plan this at all, but my last three interview shows have all been with artists that have a base in the hip hop world. And yet could not be more different. I mean, let's talk about about how varied hip hop is in that, in that context. And, it's amazing that, that I just happened to have my last three interviews with people in the hip hop world, and the music is so vastly, wonderfully different.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It's true though. Yeah. Cause I've listened to at least, I remember both the guys specifically, your label mate, and I think his name was Nino, the other guy.
Nino Bedarin.
And you're absolutely right. Yeah. Just hearing the way that people get into hip hop is so different. You know, like, it's quite remarkable, really, when you talk about it like that. And I guess that's why the culture is so varied as well, for better or for worse. Yeah. You know, there's so many. You've got trap, you've got boom bap, and they're just the basic ones. Like, people are emotionally invested to both subgenres to the point that they will not even listen to one of the other ones, even though it's hip hop still.
It's
quite amazing.
In talking to more people in the hip hop world, I'm starting to realize that hip hop has a lot of not stylistic similarities, but the reasons for getting into it. Like, when I was 13, I got into punk. And I find that there's a lot of similarities in why you approach music in the punk world and in the hip hop world. But I say I was into punk, but I've talked about it on the show many a times. When I was 13, okay, I'm dating it here. I think it was 1981. And I had been in school band and I had a saxophone. Couldn't play it to save my life for reasons that were not realized back then. There was no way I was going to wrap my head around reading music back then. You know, now we know things that are, you know, not getting too deep into that. But so I had this useless saxophone that in somebody else's hands would be very useful. And I went down and I traded it in for a guitar, and I could do that. My other love was, of course, electronic music. You know, Gary Numan had come out recently, and Kraftwerk, and I was listening to some Tangerine Dream and Jean-Michel Jarre. Problem is,
Jean-Michel Jarre.
A 13-year-old kid can go and trade in a saxophone and get a guitar, but a 13-year-old kid can't go trade in a saxophone and get two or three $2,500 to $15,000 electronic instruments. So let's talk about the Great Equalizer in today's world. But
yeah,
getting into punk and the visceral just rawness of punk, I see that a lot of that style, it not stylistically, but a lot of the angst or the artistry is the same reason why people get into hip hop. It's the rawness, it's the realism of it. And I think that's kind of cool. I think we spend so much time trying to find our differences with everybody that we don't ever actually look into the similarities. I mean, with the exception of like the Death Grips or something like that, or some of those bands, or you're not going to find a lot of crossover between the punk and the hip hop world, and yet they're so similar in at least origins.
It's true, yeah, it's very true, and you can kind of, I think in the future, there's going to be more crossovers in that way.
Wouldn't that be great?
It'd be amazing. And truth be told, I'm trying to find, you know, subconsciously what that might be, because I think there's a lot of space that hasn't been explored yet. But I think that's going to become a bigger thing. I think people are going to collaborate from different genres more. And I kind of struggle with genres as well. I'm not very literate when it comes to genres.
Genres are a black hole that kind of needs to be destroyed. And I didn't realize how bad it was until I started Reaching for Lucidity, till I turned Reaching for Lucidity into a record label. And I talked last episode with the struggles that me and Jeff go through, because we don't make what you would call normal genre music. And yet the services that we use to distribute our music lock us into genres. If you go look for some of my stuff, it's very experimental. It's ambient. It's electronic. Jazzy, you know, kind of post-rock stuff. Sure. So I've got all these terms that I can tell you, hey, that's what my music is like. And then I go to release it and I'm stuck putting it down as electronic. I can't really put it down as jazz because it's not really jazz. I can't, there is no ambient on the service I use.
Which is crazy, by the way, when I heard you say that.
It's nuts. Yeah. So if you'll go find some of my stuff online, a lot of it gets grouped in with dance music. So could you imagine a person's looking for something, a house beat or something like that, and they run across my stuff, their first instinct is going to be, this is shit.
Yeah,
this is absolute shit. Yeah. It doesn't mean that it is shit. It means that if somebody was looking for dance music and they found my stuff listed under dance music, they're going to get a shock, because it's not. But I kind of get shoehorned in that way. Yeah, you know, so it's very, genres very are bad.
I think they are. Yeah, I can kind of understand why they exist. I guess a lot of it was probably marketing as well back in the day.
Marketing, yeah.
But, yeah.
As humans, this is something that I wish that we could like get post, and that's post putting everything in a box.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, okay, the elections here in our country recently really showed this. We had we had two distinct boxes over here. And then they had the rest of us that are like outside the boxes, kind of going like, can't we get beyond this? We're people, we're humans. Can't we look at what we have more in common rather than setting up that our whole identity now is that of a politician or a political party, and it's us versus them. Why can't we just go forth with love and accept others? You know,
why is that so difficult?
Yeah, the stuff that happened at the Capitol and things. You know, it's so much better. Life is so much better when you're living with expectancy of being one with others and not separated from others. Genres, boxes, we just love to label things way too much.
And then we like to put people against each other on top of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like,
and if you think about voting for an election, the intention there for every voter, regardless of the side, is hopefully that they want to improve the country. So why wouldn't you want to put those heads together and say, well, let's meet in the middle? Are we really going
to
spend
the distinct impression that this last election cycle, we got way past just wanting to make the country better, and it was tribal. it got straight up tribal. It got, you know,
it's quite scary.
Yeah. This is me and you're not me, so you're bad. Well, you're not me, so you're bad. And, you know, here's the thing. You have this person, and for whatever reason, you hate that person. You hate their music. You hate their art. You hate what they do for a living. You just hate. But, you know, they have a mom, and they may have kids. And the fact is, they're probably a damn decent human being. And there are people that love them. And if somebody loves them, then they're worthy of that, right? So we find the things that we can just zero in on. And it's like, this is why I hate you. Rather than look into the whole thing like, this is why I like you, or I love you, or we can be friends, or we can at least sit down and be civil with each other, because we like to think that there's a lot more diversity in human beings than there is. There's different cultures. There's different ways of going about things. But okay, I lived in England for 3 years. I lived in Littlehampton, right on the English Channel.
Oh, no way.
Right. Just west of Worthing. Lived there for 3 years. I lived in Germany in Berchtesgaden for 2 years. Spent most of my time in Austria, in Salzburg during that time.
That's incredible, though. You're well traveled.
Yeah, well, getting around, you know, it's one of the things that I find that people in my country don't do enough of.
Getting
around. And of course, living in Germany, people in Germany love talking about what's different, right? But while we're all doing that, while we start to get to know each other, we start to realize just how the same we are.
Exactly.
Because basic motivations are the same. We need to be fed. We need to find love. We need to love. We need to have shelter. We need to. That's the same. That goes through all cultures. And that's the stuff that actually we have in common. But we don't pay enough attention to that. It's always what separates us. What is it that's different? Because human motivations, when you really drill down, this is in arts, what we're talking about here. This is in politics. This is everything. It's just, how do I provide for mine and help make the world a better place?
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it. And we spend a lot of time.
Right?
It should be, right? You know, that's why I always say there's no such thing as bad music. There's only music you don't like. Really? I'm trying to take down those barriers, because on the internet now, this is something I didn't have to deal with when I was a kid. Everybody had an opinion when I was a kid, but you couldn't tell the whole world your opinion just because it was Tuesday. You know what I mean? It's like this internet thing didn't actually become a thing until I was a young adult.
Yeah.
But these days, we hear something or see something we don't like. It's not like, oh, I don't like that. It's, you have to go out and scream at the top of the mountains why it's crap, or what's wrong with
it. You have to let everybody know.
And is that really healthy? You know, is it?
Not unless you're singing it. if you put it into your singing, then you could probably get some good results.
Put a diss track out, man. But you know, that's another reason. That's exactly why I wanted you on the show, man, to talk art and positivity.
And I think just on that as well, just bringing it back to, you know, being an indie producer, an indie artist, or indie anything, it's, you know, you can look at numbers on, you know, Spotify or YouTube or anything. And if you're not performing well, you can kind of convince yourself that people didn't like the music, even though they just probably haven't heard it.
Right.
And I find that to be, it was a trap for me early on. I've slowly got better at it with every release, but, you know, it's a similar thing. You know, you get fixated on that, and then you suddenly think that's everybody's opinion, when the opinion wasn't even formed either way.
Well, that's very telling, because this is something that I've picked up over the years. It's like, we're all narcissistic to a point.
Sure.
There's, of course, a point where it becomes unhealthy. But here's the thing. We're living our life, right? So we have a movie in our head, and that's our movie. Everybody else that we come into contact with is just a player in the movie in our head. Now, here's the thing. They each have their own movie playing, right? But you're just a character in their movie. You're not the same. Their movie is not your movie. And I put this down to, okay, I've been married to my wife, Faith, Effie. On July 1st, it'll be 32 years.
Congratulations. That's incredible.
Thank you. And I had to come to the realization a few years back that she's just a player in my movie and I'm just a player in her movie. Even after 32 years of marriage, I don't have any real great insight into what her movie is. And she has no real insight into what my movie is. That's why we can, after all these years, this is why we can still get into disagreements, because what I'm thinking, what my movie's saying to me is not what her movie is saying to her. You know, so we're coming at it.
Wouldn't it be boring if it was?
Exactly. So it's so easy to, like you said, this song isn't getting a lot of play, or maybe there was a passing comment from somebody. And we're all thinking that people are thinking about us, but it's really freeing when you start to realize that people don't care about you at all.
Yeah.
And it's not a negative thing. They're just in their movie and you're just a character in their movie. And you're just a person on the internet. You're not a person that they go home to at night. You're not a person they deal with at work. You're not a person that they have beers with after work. You're just a dude on the internet that makes music. So you can't expect to be a major character in their movie. They're not thinking about you. All this negative stuff that you build up in your head about, oh my God, they hate this, they hate me. They actually don't have an opinion.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
You know? And that's a beautiful thing. They're just living their movie.
It's very relieving, extremely relieving.
Yeah.
And I don't think how the industry is set up today particularly helps that. Because, you know, Instagram, I mean, that's my primary social media. It's how we met. It's, I don't really like this word, but it's about clout. Or it's perceived to be about clout. When in reality, people just want to share what they're doing. They just get wrapped up in a follow account. And, you know, they think, if I don't have X amount of followers, how could I possibly make music that's this good as, I don't know, Eminem, for example, right, to go right out there. And it's scary. It's scary.
Well, if there's one thing I could tell people in the independent arts community, no matter what you do, is A, you can never compare yourself to anybody else because there's only one you. And B, you talk about follower counts. And like, okay, I have my follower count right now. Out of that follower count, There's a handful of people that I tend to interact with on a regular basis.
Yeah,
let's call them internet acquaintances. Let's call them internet friends, friends light, right? Because like I said, we're just connected on the internet. I can never get to the point where I devalue those people. You, I can't devalue you. We have a relationship now, but so many people are so caught up in increasing their follower count, which doesn't necessarily increase their interaction or getting to know anybody else, that they devalue the people that are there that are actually interested. You can never disregard the one that's actually in your corner to try to get 10 more or 1,000 more. You've got to stick to the one, because that's your true believer. That's your true fan. That's the person that one day will say, if you're lucky enough to get to a certain level, they're like, I was there at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
But so many people get caught up in the vanity of the follower count. And worse, and horrifying is when people start comparing themselves to people's Instagram accounts and they're like, I'm not in Ibiza right now. Look at this person living this life. You have no idea what's behind that person's life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't know if they're fronting. You don't know if they're happy. In reality, you don't know if they're in that thing where they're trying to get that next 1,000 rather than focus on the ones that care about them right now.
Yeah.
So social media is such a double-edged sword, but Instagram's my main now because it's not as toxic as the others. I find.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely agree with you there.
It's pretty pictures. It's not as political. It's not people trying to... And it's so easy to ignore people.
You don't want.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so Instagram is kind of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
compared to Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, I've never really. When I was younger, I probably had Facebook when I was 14 to 21, something like that. I didn't have any social media before I made the Instagram account, which we met on. It's actually because of my friend Lex that I even got Instagram, because he kept saying to me, dude, there's so much stuff I want to send you. Like, look at this vocal thing. Look at this. Get Instagram. You need Instagram. And It took him probably 50 attempts of saying that for me to actually get it.
Yeah,
but I love it now. I think it's an amazing platform, and the stories, the mixture you can do between audio, video, pictures, text.
It's it great like for promoting and connecting. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of a, like my wife, she'll have her phone and I'll look over and she looks all right. She looks just hanging. And then I look over a little while later and she's like, then I look over a little while later. I'm like, she's like, oh, I'm like, you're on Facebook again, aren't you? She's like, yes. I'm like, we need to get you on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know? We need to get you away from that Facebook doom scroll, you know, which is kind of what it is. If you get on Facebook and if you just scroll a few things, you start to get a frown. It's kind of an involuntary thing. You're like,
ugh. Yeah, it's subconscious.
Yeah, it's just like, wow. But
scary.
Again, but it feeds the monster, though.
It does. And I do think as well, if you feed that monster enough, me being the monster in my own example, then again, just to circle back, that's what can take you to that next step. Because as we said, you have to get in trenches to actually get out of it. So maybe you join Facebook thinking you're going to become an amazingly successful artist on Facebook, and then you realize you're not, and then you have to go through a whole cycle of, well, why not? And maybe from that you determine that Facebook isn't for me, and you come over to us in Instagram and we come and look after you.
And now this isn't to say that Instagram is perfect. It's just
far from
better, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I find that it's not as taxing on my soul, you know. It's like,
yeah,
I like Westies. I have a Westie. I don't know. I have my thing on. My little Pixie's just sleeping right there.
Oh, bless
but I have her. This screen on so you can't see her. She's right there. You'd see her if I didn't have this up there.
Oh,
so
bless.
I like Westies. So my feed is filled with musicians, artists, and Westies. That's my Instagram feed.
I can remember a post you did actually a few weeks ago about Westies.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, Westies, musicians, and artists. Yeah. What's not to love there? You know,
exactly.
That stuff that makes you feel good. You know,
it's yeah.
Nobody's yelling at me because I'm wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or I'm not thinking and not right.
Even, and they think that you're wrong, not even that you are wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you're
in the wrong box, man.
Yeah.
Gotta get over here
in
this box.
Color. It's red. No, it's blue. Is it? Really?
Yeah. I found your music, man. It said it was dance and it's not.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe it's time to expand your horizons.
Yeah.
Well, hey, so I do try to get tips out there and ideas for others that they can maybe build off of in their own careers or endeavors. Anything that you would like to pass on to any other independents out there that you may have picked up in your time as you've gone through the machinations of career and DIY and independence?
For sure, yeah. I think the first thing I would talk about on the technical side for specifically musicians, if you're starting out, like when I started out, my first kind of demo beat tape I did, was called Somewhat Snowy. I created that using just loops in GarageBand, trying to put stuff together, trying to understand the process. And from that, I kind of reverse engineered what I do. And I'm still reverse engineering now with my guitar, my finger drumming. I'm still trying to, how much deeper can I go into this? So that'd be my first thing, probably for any endeavor, is reverse engineer it, but don't be afraid as well to use other people's work legally, of course. If it's Apple or a cleared sample or anything. But don't be afraid to do that, because, you know, I know people who wouldn't dare use loops and they're still learning. They've never even made a beat and they think they've got to pick up the guitar and shred and, you know, do these crazy hi-hats. And it's just not the case. You can't get to that point if you don't start at the basics. And you can talk yourself out of that any step of the way. So, you know, getting something out, reverse engineering it, and just trying to improve all the time. And that sounds fluffy, but it's genuine as well, because you can sit down and make a beat and just, I can go on YouTube now and find the most amazing drums, the most amazing piano, the most amazing guitar, I can drag it all into Fruity Loops, change the BPM, and I've got a song. But it's about going deeper than that. You know, for me personally anyway, it's how was this created? Well, how did that sound get created? You know, I always think, like, how do you create a kick sample from nothing? And I still don't know. It's something I'll discover at some point. You know, is it just, I kind of see it as this block of sound that you're kind of chipping away at until you get your kick sample. And I guess the other thing is balance as well. It's something I've always struggled with. It's something I'm getting better at, but I work full time for quite a big company on salary. So I work late some nights. It's an energy spend. Sometimes you'll see me on my story looking tired, 10 years older than I am. But it's about finding balance and spending the time to actually recognize where you're at, where you could be going, but also the job at hand as well. Setting time aside every night to play music. And if you only end up doing it for 20 minutes, or maybe you make a drum beat or something, notice that that's still success. At least to me it is. And it's all about achieving that balance. And you're going to have your down times. You're going to maybe disappear sometimes. But it's about always trying to get back to that balance. And it's probably the same for any creative pursuit as well. Whether that's drawing or whatever it is.
I have balance a friend, Eric Knisley, and he's an illustrator. He was a guest on my show last season. And he's very big on this, because people don't put enough attention to this. Whereas talent may be a thing, but sitting down and practicing and doing will get you further than talent ever will.
Way further, yeah.
There's tons of talented people that have done absolutely nothing with that talent.
Yeah.
And yet there are people that are kind of hacks, like me. That
feel like a hack sometimes, yeah.
But we do. You know, yeah. Doing beats, you know, everything, you know, just doing. What you were talking there made so much sense, you know. Everybody starts somewhere. Yeah. And if you're starting with loops, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. What you're learning there is arranging. You're learning how songs work.
Exactly.
You're learning how music works. And that's then you get this thirst and you're like, but I want to do more than this. And that's when you take your steps forward into making your own beats or loops, or you learn an instrument, or you learn programming or something. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that people are very mean, you know, like, you did that using loops. Oh yeah, that's not real music.
Yeah.
Or they'll say nasty things like that. But the fact is, this is where it comes in. You got to find that part inside of yourself and go forward. You know, ask the question, is this person that just told you that, is it Quincy fucking Jones, or is it some guy that's never made a piece of music in his life? Not that that really matters, because you have to be willing to tell Quincy Jones, F off, I'm just starting, man. but it would have a little bit more validity coming from Quincy Jones rather than some guy that's never made music. You also have to take into effect, especially with the internet, a lot of people that are going to comment and try to tear you down and try to tell you that what you're not doing, or telling you what you're doing is not right. They may be failed at what you're doing.
Exactly.
They're the ones
never
that didn't
start.
Yeah, they didn't start, or they're that guy that picked up the guitar and is like, oh shit, I can't play this, and puts it down and never picks it up again. You know, guitar's hard. Play guitar.
Hard.
Guitar's hard. You get to a point where you're like, oh, I was taking this way too serious. Now I can play, you know. But yeah, you have to go over a hump of practice and learning. And this is even if you play by ear or if you know music or what have you. So you never know where that person is coming from. Maybe he's being mean to you because you're doing and they never did.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have to find that center. It's here.
Yeah.
It's not external.
Exactly.
You can't let them. Do you know Zay Frank?
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
He does these. He used to do these incredible videos. I think he runs BuzzFeed now, and he doesn't. He only does like these crazy little animal videos now. But he used to do these videos where he just talk. And one of his best. Look this up. Anybody listening, look this up, because it's very important. It's called "Don't Yuck My Yum." You can find it on YouTube. It's "Don't Yuck My Yum." It's one of Zay Frank's videos. And the whole premise of this is, when he was a kid, He loved stickers and he loved collecting stickers. Yet everybody in his family, everybody, his uncles, everybody would crap on him for collecting stickers as that's not cool or that's not good. And he basically said they were yucking his yum. You know,
that's such a great saying.
You should always follow your passion. You got to find that center inside of you so that people can't come by and drive by yuck your yum.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so true.
You know, so
I'm going to start using that as well.
It makes so much sense. So if you're at a place and you want to make music and all you can do right now or all that you have, it's an economic thing. You may only be able to afford this digital audio workstation, or you're working on Cakewalk because it's free, and you know, you want to work your way up to an Ableton or to a Logic or something. And no matter where you are, take what you have and do what you can with it, and you'll grow as long as you don't quit. Quitting is when it's over, you know?
That's the key. And that's why you hold the power as an artist as well. Because you can decide whether you mean to or not. Maybe you're in a bad place, but ultimately you can take the key out of the ignition and say, I'm done with this. Or you can, you know, coast for a little bit, drop gear for a little bit. It's a 10-mile-an-hour zone, and go a little bit slower. And then you're still on the path. And then when you pick it up again, you can crank it into third, fourth, fifth, whatever you want it to be.
There's no failure until you quit. Yeah, there's no failure until you quit. Let's say you make something today and even you don't like it. Well, you know tomorrow not to do that again. So that's a win.
Exactly. Yeah,
and let's say you make something today that's great and tomorrow you're like not feeling it as well. Well, that's fine. You got another tomorrow the next day. And you learn each time. There is no failure until, I like what you said, till you take the key out the ignition.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
You know, you may put it into neutral every now and then, and that's perfectly fine. That's life. Sometimes you're in drive, sometimes you're in reverse. But until you take the key out of the ignition, you haven't failed. You just, you know,
you can't go either way once the key's taken out. So,
exactly.
And that's a scary thought. I think you got to have faith in yourself. I think it's probably overstated saying that. But I think having that belief in yourself, like, whether you made the song with loops or not, if you like it, be so proud of that. Like, you've created something that you like. That means you built that based on other things that you like, which means other people may like it. But if they don't, you built something. To me, that was just the coolest thing. Like, just getting these garage band loops, and still a couple of those tracks are my favorite songs I've made. And
that
just
makes
felt
sense.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny because the way I perform in the way things are today, I'm a solo performer. So I make my tracks, I make my albums, I chop my stuff up, I put it into my iPad where I can manipulate things. So basically when I go out and perform, I've got my guitar and I'm DJing while playing guitar. I'm DJing my music while playing guitar. I'm triggering stems and things to get my music out there, because if I had a band to play what I'm playing right there, none of us would ever make anything, because you know, you can't, you know, there's not a lot of money out performing these days. So if I can go out there and do it myself. But I've run into so many people saying weird things. Like, I'm sitting there playing my guitar, but they'll be like, oh, but that's electronic stuff, so discounting me, right? Or I'm like, and I rebuttal that every now and then if I feel like arguing. I'm like, well, do you ever go to a dance club? Yes. Is there a DJ there? Yes. The DJ is an artist. They're not playing anything. They're just playing music, whether it be theirs or somebody else's. I'm like, so what I'm doing here is that, but I'm playing an instrument on top of it. And then I realize, why am I justifying myself to these people? And I have to find my center again. And I'm like,
go in the cycle. Yeah.
Yet again, this is a person who's not doing yucking my yum.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is going out and doing. You know, you can never look for your validation outside of yourself. It never works.
No. It's full of tricks, full of pitfalls.
And you know who the biggest liar in your life is? Your mom, your wife, your sister, your brother, because they'll never tell you the truth.
Exactly.
They either hate you or they're going to love you. You know, it depends on your family dynamics. There's no middle ground. They're either like, everything you do smells like roses, or everything you do is a turd. So, you know, especially don't look for your validation from those closest to you because they're not objective.
And they love you as well. They want to make you feel good. They know what it means to you. Exactly. But I would also say be willing to share it with those people, because, you know, my mom's probably my biggest fan, which is awesome. She probably knows more of my songs than anybody. So even though, don't take too much validity from it, but accept what a blessing that is as well, that people you love can enjoy your art.
See, you keep it positive, man. That's why I wanted you on the show. You keep it positive, you know, because it sounded like I was going down a negative there when I said that about family and friends and all. But that wasn't how I meant it. I meant you can't really put a heavy weight on those opinions is what I was meaning.
Exactly. You know, exactly that. Yeah.
Keep it here. Keep it right here.
And if I'm my first customer, you know, like you can, if I'm producing beats for a rapper, then he's my first customer. But if I'm creating music to just put on Spotify, I say just like it's nothing. Yeah. Creating music to put on Spotify, which is something, I've got to be happy with it. I've got to sit in my room and be like, this is fucking insane. And I can't stop listening to it. And then I go outside and I've got it in my headphones. And that's the worst thing you can do as a producer, is keep listening to stuff that's not fully realized yet. Yeah. You're going to trick your ears. You're going to start hearing that over the actual song.
Well, you know, we were talking about success, whether your stuff is successful or not. And here's the thing that most people don't get. Mm. So you make a song and you like it. So you have a fan already. You're a fan of what you just did. So the key is at that point, you've got to go out and find people that like what you like. That's your tribe. And that's who you share it with. Most people think that you have to make music that appeals to the world. You actually have to make stuff that people hate. Some people have to hate what you're doing. And you have to realize that's fine. You have to realize that's actually a positive, because you've made something that has some emotion involved. If somebody hates your stuff, that's just as good as other people loving it.
Yeah, so it's a good way of looking at it.
You know, you don't want vanilla. You don't want beige. You don't want to be a potato. As what the Gallagher brothers call each other all the time from Oasis, you know, call each other potatoes.
Yeah, we're waiting for them to get back together, by the way.
Yeah, maybe they'll finally end it on stage. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of baggage there. Remember what I said about family either loves you or hates you?
Hey, very true. Very true.
But that's probably the thing that you know, you have to find the people that like what you like, because if you like it, you're not wrong. You're not an idiot. You're making something that somebody likes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So find the other people that like what you like, and don't worry about the people that don't. They don't
exactly.
matter.
It would be arrogant to think that if you don't like something, the other 7 billion people also wouldn't like it.
Exactly.
It's kind of an arrogance to that.
It's a little bit of work finding your tribe and all, but social media is good for that too, because you can use filters. You can use, you know, you can find people that like music that you like, and there's a good chance they'll like what you're creating, because none of us create something out of nothing. We're all products of what we consume ourselves.
Everything. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
So, you know, that's kind of how you have to look at it. You don't have to please the entire world. You just have to find those people that like what you like or like what you
exactly. do. And when you find just one of those people, it's going to feel amazing.
Like, that's right.
And you know the difference as well. Mm-hmm. You really do know the difference. When you find those people, it's like, I wouldn't even call it, well, I guess it is validating in a way. It's refreshing more than anything. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm not the only guy that likes this type of music. That sample wasn't too weird for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right here in Raleigh, we have a big thriving noise scene, which I'm a part of.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, I just started a side project, Souls Leak Liquid Silver, and I put out a noise album.
I enjoyed that very much as well.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But you have to understand. I had to understand. I wouldn't have put it out if I didn't understand. Mm. It's noise. It literally is not what most people consider music. So that's only going to appeal to people that like Merzbow from Japan, you know, and things like that. But they're out there. So have to find them. That's my job now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And creativity is a wild beast, and you never want to tame it.
You don't. And you don't want to overwork it either. Mm-hmm. I think I've struggled with that maybe a little bit I say in my early days, I'm still in my early days, yeah. I think. But
yeah, well, when you're talking to me, I kind of have this little like laugh in the back of my head. I'm like, man, you just got out of diapers last week.
It just feels like, you know, it's not even been 2 years since I started releasing music, but it feels like it's been 10 years. It's kind of weird for me to think back to before I was 25, and the fact that I had like this guitar next to me that you can't see. And all these things, and I just never clicked with them. I always wanted to. You know, I was into artists like Matt DeMarco, for example, an incredible artist, beautiful on his guitar in every way. And I felt like every time I picked the guitar up, I was trying to sound like him, because that's who inspired me. And because of that, you just beat yourself into submission. Next thing you know, I'm playing 10 hours a day on RuneScape or whatever game I'm into at the time.
It'll creep up, man. But if I can give you any advice, which I'm not qualified to give, which you just said, it's been 2 years. Don't let it rush too fast by you. Savor it.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get the first 2 years back. You're never going to get the third year back. You're never going to get the fourth year back.
So
never think future. I mean, have a plan for the future.
Sure.
And try not to think past too much, because there's nothing you can do to change the past, and you can have every plan in the book, and it's good to plan, but still the future's not here. All you got's today. So
exactly that.
You know, but don't ever let it go by without savoring it.
I completely appreciate that advice as well, because I think it's so easy to do, like a good meal.
Yeah.
You sit down and you soon through the best bits that you like the most. I think that's good advice.
I used to know this kid online.
You only go for it once.
Yeah. I used to know this kid online, and it was literally a kid. This was in the early days of podcasting, because that's how I got. That's how I technically got my start here, because I got signed on at Pod Show Mevio doing the Indie Music Blast back in the day. And there was a kid, and he went to one of the podcast meetups. I think it was the first one. It was in Ontario, California. And afterwards, after the thing, he wrote this eloquent blog post. This kid was like 12 years old, and he wrote this blog post, and he says, I have all these pictures, but I realize I only remember the people walking away. Because he was so wrapped up, he didn't stop to savor each moment. He was like, I met this person, met that person, met this person. But he wrote in his blog post, a 12-year-old kid, I only have the memories of them walking away.
Yeah,
because he didn't stop to
think that way,
you know. So big scale thing, that's what we have to watch out for as artists. You know, don't the future's going to happen. The past is behind us.
Yeah.
Always savor where you're at, because you only actually have control over what's happening right now.
So true.
Yeah. You know,
so true.
Joe, man, I think we've had a good conversation.
Hey, it's been awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I'm so happy you came on, man.
I thank you for having me. Very much appreciate it.
No. You've given a new perspective. You know,
I knew
you'd have that. I knew that you would have a different take on things.
I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that this puts 41 pretty much in 41 in the bag. Remember, everybody, if you like what you hear here, subscribe, whether it be in your favorite audio podcatcher, or you can catch this on YouTube. I'd appreciate it if you like this, if you would share it as well. And Joe, now's your chance. Tell people where they can get all your stuff, where they can find you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, thank you if you've made it this far. Appreciate you listening to us, Bill. But yeah, you can find my music, Tie Dye Beats, on pretty much any platform apart from SoundCloud. I'm not on there. But you can find me on Spotify, YouTube. If you're on Instagram, you can find me on there as well, which is where I spend a lot of my time putting ideas, jams, and things like that out there.
And he responds.
you know, and that's something else. I feel immense gratitude when people respond to anything I do. So yeah, if you ever want a conversation about anything, hit me up on Instagram and I will be all ears.
All right, man. Well, I guess now it's time to let you get back to your evening. Well, I can see the sun has gone down behind you since we started.
Yeah. It has indeed, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Joe, thank you so much. Appreciate awesome. It, man. Bye.
Thank you so much, Eamon. Appreciate it. Thank you.